If you have something that has some biblical stuff in it, a Bible would be really amazing to have biblical stuff in. But also, if you have some other way of turning to Luke chapter 11, why don't you start turning there? And I will not, I am not in the mood to take anybody out in the hall. I'll just whip on all of you with what I've got to say. not going to happen. I am here to equip and encourage, you know, and God doesn't even want to beat on you. The devil does, that's for sure. Oh, I just realized all those teachers. Never mind. So while you're turning to Luke 11, I was just thinking the other day, I heard somebody say this and I really liked it. They said, can you imagine how much fun the evening news would be if Liar Liar Pants on Fire really happened? Wouldn't that be fun to watch? And now for a headline. Whoa! Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, if you're in Luke 11, you can read along, kind of, but you kind of can't. Because I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 6, but I want you to stay in Luke 11. I did that on purpose. I didn't blow it. So here's what it says in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, Luke 11, I think it'll be around verse 2, because there's a little bit of a commentary at the beginning with verse 1 before this prayer gets shared. But in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Were you trying to read along? Did you see some things matched up very well? Almost perfect? Did you see other things that not quite as perfect? And maybe you weren't reading in the New King James Version, so that'll change it a little bit too. If you read the two passages out of the New King James Version, several of the sentences are exactly the same, and that's because they're structurally the same in the original language. So they look exactly the same. Now let's go back. I'm going to read Luke 11, verses 1 through 4 again to put us all together. So now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. In Matthew, it only says, in this manner, therefore, pray. But in Luke, you see a little bit more of what was going on. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's not a contradictory thing. That's one adding to the other so we can get a little bit more. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, everyone who is indebted to us. Excuse me. Isn't that interesting, the two words there? We'll talk about that in a second. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So Luke's just giving us some information that Matthew didn't have, although Matthew's also saying some things that Luke didn't say. And Luke lets us know that it was actually the disciples who said, hey, we noticed you pray a lot. What's that look like? That's how we might say it today. What's that look like? Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. So apparently, John the baptizer was one who taught his disciples to pray a certain way or after a certain style. Maybe even he taught them to pray specific prayers. Anybody besides me ever learn specific prayers when you were a kid? Yeah. And some of you who are Catholic, you got a lot of specific prayers, a lot of specific. We used to, Mom would say, who's going to pray? I will, Mom. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for his food. By his hands we are fed. I haven't heard a word I said. And then I start eating. that was kind of, You know, we would say those things really fast. When we first came here, the football team was amazing because Josh was on the football team, you know, and they would go down, and before the thing, you'd hear him down there, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That's how they all prayed together. They prayed the Lord's Prayer before every game. I'm not complaining, by the way. I'm not upset that they did that. It's a good thing. Matthew, I think, kind of helps to communicate that this prayer isn't a prayer we repeat, but rather a prayer that we emulate in this manner. Not these exact words, but in this manner, pray. So, in other words, while it's not wrong to pray this prayer word for word, that was really not what Jesus was trying to accomplish. That wasn't his goal, was to give us something to pray. I grew up praying this prayer every Sunday in church, in the Methodist church. A lot of you had that experience. Luke quotes Jesus as saying something interesting also. Jesus said, when you pray, say. It really is, I think, more than we make of it. It's not when you pray, think. I'm not saying you shouldn't think when you pray. I think there are some people, I've heard prayers before, I wonder if they're thinking when they pray. But what are they thinking about? But when you pray, say is an indication that there is a value in verbalizing your prayers. Now, I will tell you what I believe is the value in verbalizing your prayers. I believe, and because it's happened to me, that when you speak out loud to God, you hear yourself say some things sometimes, and then you have this experience, at least I do. I hear myself say something, and then I'm like, is that really what you want? Is that really what I want? Let me think about that for a second. I just heard myself say, I want this. And then I realized this might not be what I want. Like, please God do, you know, please God, my child is, you know, been caught by a police officer speeding. Please don't give them a ticket. Is there any reason why I'd want my child to have a ticket? Anybody got an idea? What? Yeah. And I don't mean learn to come to me and ask me to pay it. I mean learn that they're going to have to pay this ticket, and maybe that'll keep them from speeding. Because what could be the other result of speeding besides a ticket? Yeah, a bad accident. So there are things like that that have value, and sometimes, you know, I've been praying for people before to have God to have mercy on them, realizing that the mercy that I'm picturing in my head might not be merciful at all, because if they don't have something out of that experience that teaches them not to behave that way, they might keep behaving that way. You had that happen to you? Oh, you have. I'm going to say that over the thing. Hopefully they didn't hear that in case. Well, he'll never watch, but no, maybe. You never. So, yeah, you know, I really believe right now one of our big problems in this nation, by the way, is the fact that we are telling people that they don't have to pay bail and that they don't have to pay the consequences for a lot of their actions. Why? Because when they don't pay consequences for their little actions, guess what they do? They escalate their actions. And that's a problem. So I think it's important to verbalize, and I find that when I'm verbalizing what I'm praying about, I do get a benefit for myself. There used to be a thing called verbal advantage. Rush Limbaugh used to push it, and it was something about learning how to use bigger words. Like, I need bigger words. I'm not sure I need bigger words. But there is a verbal advantage to praying out loud, and I think it's to your benefit. So if I were you, if I could recommend anything to you, it would be don't go into your prayer time and just sit there thinking about what you want to talk to God about. Talk to God about what you want to talk to God about. It's just a thought. Both of these passages are very, very similar. It is interesting that Matthew talks about debts and the word sins shows up in Luke. And I don't know for sure why that is. That may have been because Luke was trying to put it in a form that would be understood by the Gentiles, because Luke was a Gentile, and he was trying to communicate it to the Gentiles, whereas Matthew was directly after the house of Israel. And a lot of people believe that kind of stuff with other things throughout the book of Matthew versus the book of Luke. So it's just a thought. And then Matthew adds, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Lots of teachers over the years that I've heard preach and teach about this particular prayer and these passages have suggested that we start the prayer out in a worshipful attitude and we end the prayer with a worshipful attitude. I think there's something to that. I think we have a tendency to just barge in on God with the middle of the prayer. God, I need this! When we really should come to him and worship. And he doesn't mind us telling him, you know, where our heart is at on the things that we have need of. But I think we should end with worship as well. Because in so doing, we are reminding ourselves of who he is. Again, and when we verbalize it, it's an even greater advantage. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, cool. I could go through this prayer point by point. I have gone through this prayer point by point, and I could turn it into even a series of messages. I've seen that done before. Do any of you remember a guy named Larry Lee back in the mid-80s? Larry Lee was a guy who taught on the Lord's Prayer a lot. And it was turned into a 4 or 5 week series with Larry. And a whole lot of preachers preached it. I know because I were one of them. I did. I preached the whole series. It's not bad for a preacher to hear some other preacher and say, you know, he makes a lot of good points. And you'd be surprised how many pastors in our own community, they get almost everything they get from a series that was done. And they add their kind of angle to it or things like that. And I'm not against that. I don't do that very often. We had a moment this week where the pastors were sitting in a circle and we had just finished praying and somebody says, I'm preaching on blah, blah this week. What are you guys preaching on? And we ran around the circle and everybody knew what they were preaching on. Everybody but me. And I said, well, I'm thinking about, but I've been thinking about 2 or 3 things, but I'm thinking about, and I told them that I was thinking about this. And actually, everything I've said up till now wasn't what I told them. Because, well, I wanted to get into the prayer a little bit before I got into directly what I was interested in saying. Because today, I don't want to focus on the whole prayer. I want to focus on a couple of things. And there are a couple of things that I don't remember Larry Lee focusing on. How many of you know the scripture is alive? And you're going to read it, and then you're going to read it again, and then you could read the same passage 1,000 times, and then on passage, you know, on 101 of reading, 1001 of reading that passage, the Lord might say something to you you didn't hear before, or it didn't sink in. And then all of a sudden, boom, comes alive. So I want to focus on the line, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've had that up on the wall quite a few years ago now, about 2005. It's the first time I ever heard Bill Johnson speak. He was the first person who I ever heard say, on earth as it is in heaven reveals the will of God. I now know the will of God in every situation. It doesn't mean I make it come to pass or that it happens the way I picture it, but I know the will of God in every situation. Jesus wouldn't tell me to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if he didn't want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for this, but I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I just want you to pray for it. It just makes me feel good when you pray it. No, I don't have any intention of doing that. How many think that would be really rotten of God? To say, yeah, just pray this way. This is the way I want you to pray, that my will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, but I have no intention of that happening. Can't imagine that. So the truth of the matter is, I know what the will of God is. He wants things on earth to be as they are in heaven. That's an interesting thought. We've been talking about that for years. But this is what I want to say. Let me read it again. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I read it just now, did it sound like one big line? It's actually two lines. This is the interesting part to me. And when you read it as two lines, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the point that was brought to me this week. When we pray, we should declare God's kingdom into the situations that we are interceding for. We should declare God's kingdom into the situations we are interceding for. Not declare his kingdom, or excuse me, declare his kingdom, but do we declare his kingdom or do we just wish he would do something? Think about it. Because I know what I've done in a lot. A lot of my prayers have been, oh God, please. Would you just do something about this situation? I'm so tired of this stuff. And the reality is he's saying we're supposed to declare his kingdom. Because that way that's written, kingdom come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's pretty bold. Say it with me. Kingdom come. Will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thinking that through. Remember, Jesus himself is teaching his disciples how to pray. This is the way I want you to pray. Kingdom come. Will of God be done. Wow. This is a little bit. Sometimes we may feel like, if I say it like that, I feel like I'm forcing my will on God. No, you're not. You're forcing God's will on the earth. How many of you want to force God's will on the earth? I do. Because God's will is always the best deal. Have you noticed that? Like God's ideas are better than mine. Not just sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I think my ideas are better. How's that working out for me? Not so good. God's will is always way above my will. As the heavens are above the earth, so is God's will above my will. It's a big difference. I want that. Now, does anyone besides me find it a bit intimidating to think that we can change the entire planet on earth as it is in heaven? Like, I'm going to pray and everything on earth has to change. Yeah, that does sound a bit big. I think sometimes because of the way we've prayed it and the way we've said it over the years, we have this picture of, you know, earth having to be knocked off its axis or something. How about if we just bring it down to something a little less intimidating? Can we do that? Can not on earth as it is in heaven? That sounds like the entire planet. I'm not asking you or me to have that much faith. I'm not recommending you even try to right from this point to have that much faith. Maybe it would be good to start with the kingdom in our lives. Like, what if we could just bring the kingdom into our little piece of the planet? Right? If I could just bring the kingdom into what I'm doing today. You're actually doing that right now, by the way. You're processing, you're positioning yourself for that very thing, for his kingdom to come into you, because you're here and we're gathered together and we're looking at the word of God and we're thinking about what he's really asking of us. So, say it this way. Kingdom come in me. Will of God be done in me, on earth as it is in heaven in me. There you go. That's a good place to start. Like, I don't have to change everything. I just have to change something and get something going on in earth as it is in heaven. I can't really do this whole thing right here yet. It's like there's parts of me that are still like, I want to do this. I want to do that. Still fighting with that. But if I start to think that way and I start to declare changes over me, I'm starting someplace really important. And this is, if you will, the starting and the finishing point of our lives. We start out calling on God, and we keep ourselves calling on God, and we keep our focus on God, and we keep trying to bring heaven into us. You may remember me saying this a few years ago. God's goal was never to get people to heaven. It was get heaven into people. If God gets heaven into people, you don't have to go to heaven. You're already there. You just transition from the experience of heaven you've got now to a deeper level of that experience. I believe it's possible, because somebody already did it once, that they walked with God and were not. His name was Enoch. I believe it's possible to just transition into heaven. I think too many preachers like me would like to say, oh, yeah, that was Enoch. He was special. What if Enoch wasn't special? What if we could do it? By the way, we have the Holy Spirit at a level that Enoch never had. Because the Holy Spirit had not been released in that way until Jesus did what he did. So think about it. Think about it. What's keeping you from having a rapture of your own? What? That's not biblical. Yes, it is. Enoch did it. He just was so heavenly minded, and the Lord just said, you know what? Just come here. Just, you're done. 360 years. He didn't even live to be as old as other people. I want to do it, but it'll take 180. I figure. I won't change the world until I change my world. If I can change my world, I got a chance at changing the world. But if I can't change my world, I'm not going to change the world. I have to start with me. Does that make sense to everybody? This is yes. Okay. Stay with me. So, where do I need the kingdom to come in my world? Where do you need the kingdom? Where do we? Let's just do it. We. This is hypothetical. I know when you answer, you already have this going on in your life. It won't be something you're waiting for. It's something you already have, and you're just declaring it to the rest of us. But where do we need the kingdom to come in our world? Anybody got any ideas? Where do we need the kingdom to come? Everywhere. Well, that was easy. Let's narrow it down now a little bit more specific. Where do we need the kingdom in our world? Family. Yeah, awesome, huh? Wouldn't it be crazy to see more of the kingdom in our families? Some of you are thinking of family members right as I'm talking, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, that would be amazing if the kingdom came down in our family. What if the kingdom came down in our family gatherings? What if the kingdom came down when we were with family members and they were having experiences that they didn't know what to do with? Kingdom come in my family. Will of God be done in my family. I ought to be praying more like that. And said, oh, Lord, would you do something about my crazy daughter? Just kidding. Just take the baby to the nursery now. By the way, this is our new recruiting tool. If you'd like to do the nursery, you get to hold this baby. She's awesome. She's a wonderful baby. So we're going to make sure the baby's here. Sign up for the nursery. We need more nursery workers. Some of you ladies can get your baby fix. And some of you guys want one too, but just not willing to admit it. Okay. So yeah, family. Or how about the people we associate with, our friends? Would it be good to have more of the kingdom in your friends? How many of you know people who have a lot of friends that don't seem to have the kingdom? I'm not saying you should never befriend anybody who doesn't have the kingdom. I'm saying you should befriend people and bring the kingdom into your friendships. Right? What would it look like for some of your friends if the kingdom just started showing up in the middle of your friendships? And what if we were praying that way? How about just pray this way? Kingdom come, will of God be done in my home as it is in heaven. What would that look like? It would look like kids actually putting their clothes away. I didn't say that too loud for the Greeby boys, did I? Okay. They're looking at me like, are you preaching to us? Yes, I am. I'm preaching at all of us, including me, just so you know. My wife has me trained, by the way. I was thinking about it this morning. There was a big, heavy thing of clothes and towels and everything. And when I came out of the bathroom, there it was. I mean, just the fact that she put it in the middle of the floor had nothing to do with her trying to tell me she wanted it moved. And I put my towel in it and a couple other things, and I picked it up and I took it down steps to the main floor, and then I took it downstairs to where the washer and dryer is. Hey? And I thought, the kingdom has come, the will of God has been done in our home as it is in heaven. Because I don't know, I don't guess there's any dirty clothes in heaven. I don't know, but do we get more than one robe, or do we get stuck with the same robe for eternity? I don't know. We change them down here because we soil them, so that's just the way it is. But yeah, our homes, our finances. Did you ever think about praying, kingdom come, will of God be done in my finances? Except I want to buy that. Do we shop with the kingdom in mind? Ladies, do you shop with the kingdom in mind? Kingdom shopping. I mean, there is such a thing? Yes, there are kingdom shoppers. They shop with the kingdom in mind. They are kingdom principled people who do all their shopping according to the principles of the kingdom. Yes, it's actually a job. I think some people are called to that. Some of you are thinking, I'll take that calling. Hallelujah. I just need more money to shop more for the kingdom. I'll bet if you start kingdom shopping and you really shop like you're kingdom minded, how many think that the provider of the finances might open up more finances for you to do better shopping because he knows he can trust you with those finances to buy what needs to be bought, to give it to who needs it? Wow. Kingdom shopping. All you have to do is learn to hear the voice of God, and the spigots of heaven open up for you to shop more. Some of you are getting really excited now. I didn't know that was a gift, but I want it. And there are a couple of husbands going, how do they learn without using up everything we've got first? Oh, well. So repeat after me. Kingdom come. Will of God be done. In my favorite store. As it is in heaven. That's legal. It's legal. You're allowed to do it. I recommend you try it. Do we go to work with the kingdom in mind? Jobs and better jobs. We make that declaration. Do we believe that God wants us to have that experience? Do we go to work as missionaries or mercenaries? Well, I have to make a living, Pastor Tim. I know. Because we know that God's not going to take care of you. Did you just say that out loud? What did Jesus say? Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Gee, that covers a lot of stuff right there. Sounds like modern day America. Eat, drink, and what to wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. One version says the heathen. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. Kingdom come. Will of God be done on my job as it is in heaven. Does that mean the guy next to me is going to look like the kingdom? Maybe not, but I can. What would the kingdom look like? He's not doing his part. You're a jerk. Do your part. Or it could be, if he asks you to go with you a mile, go with him a second. Wow. Am I just hitting you guys really square today? Because you guys are really quiet. I'm just noticing. It's just like, you must be thinking. I'm putting you to sleep or I'm making you think. I'm not sure which. Do we drive with the kingdom in mind? My wife has been a little bit concerned about us because we got this new vehicle. Some of you are finding out that we got a truck. And it's a hybrid truck. It's John's fault. I didn't know anything about it. And John and I were going to a meeting in Fort Wayne, and we were going through Hicksville. And he said, "Have you seen the new Maverick?" And I went, "What? New Maverick? I used to have a Maverick with an Edelbrock high-rise and Holley four-barrel and side pipes and big slicks on the back that stayed pretty slick because I was always burning them off." And I thought, that would be cool. Maverick Grabber. I'd like to see it. I didn't want a Maverick Grabber. He says, "No, it's a truck. It's a truck. It's a hybrid truck." Ooh, hybrid. I like hybrids. So I started looking into it. I'll give you my testimony. You ready for a testimony on this? So I started looking into the truck and couldn't see one anywhere. He said, "There's one in Hicksville." We pulled in, couldn't find it. It was actually there that day, by the way. I called them back later and they said, "Yeah, it was just around back," and we didn't look far enough. I tried to see one in person. You couldn't see one in person because they were so in demand that the second they came in, they were gone. And the dealers couldn't even order one because they were in such demand that only people with addresses could order one. You had to have a personal address, not the dealership address, because the dealers couldn't have them because they were in such demand. And I was calling Fort Wayne, and I was calling Toledo, and I was calling Lima, and I was trying to find one. So did you ever not want to buy something? I was thinking I could maybe like one of these. I started reading about it. It looked like it was right up my alley. And I'm like, "Lord, if you want me to have one of these, you'll get me one somehow, because they seem impossible to get." And so I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to start looking for one." Couldn't find one. Finally, I talked to somebody in Fort Wayne, and they said, "You know, you don't have to buy it, like, buy it. You could just put money down on it. And if you don't want it, then when it comes in, trust me, we will sell it. We would love to have one. So if you order it, put money down and order it, you can get one." So I went to Mark Motes. It's closer. And I already talked to them anyway. And I says, "Hey, they said in Fort Wayne, if I put money down, I could order one." And they said, "You don't even have to put money down. Just order one. We'd just love to have you order one." So I sat down and I figured out exactly what we wanted on it. By the way, it was the same amount of money for the base model as my Prius, which is 10 years old. Think a minute with me. How the heck does that even happen? How is a truck in 2022 the same starting price as a Prius in 2012? So it's got my interest. It's like, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to check this out. So I go in, I try to order it. And as I'm writing the order down, we get everything figured out. Of course, my wife, it was going to be her car mainly. That's why she got a new car for Mother's Day. But it was going to be her vehicle mainly, and so she wanted some stuff. So we spent a little bit more than the base model. And we get it all figured out, and we hand it off to this guy who goes to put it in the computer, and he comes back in the room and he says, "I'm sorry, you can't order that." And I was like, "I can't? No. Why not?" All the 2022s are spoken for. They're all sold. This was December 1st. I'd been looking since October 9th. December 1st. You can't buy one. "All right, well, when are the 2023s going to be available?" And he says, "You can't order them until next summer. Maybe next fall. We don't know. I hear now you can't order them. I don't know." But anyway, I'm like, "Okay, well, all right, apparently I'll have to wait." Or I thought to myself, I didn't say out loud to him, or the Lord just doesn't want me to do that. Just doesn't want me to buy that vehicle. So I'm getting ready to get up, and the guy goes, "Oh, wait, one second." He goes in the other room, he comes back out, he lays an order down. He says, "This truck right here is exactly like yours, except it's silver instead of blue," which I didn't know at the time that John was going to get blue, so I didn't want his color anyway. But anyway, John got a blue Bronco. So it's exactly like, except it has a 360 mirror thing that tells you if somebody's in your blind spot and all that. I said, "Oh, I wasn't going to order that, but, you know, how much is it?" He says, $560. So it was $560 more than I was going to pay for my truck. And I'm like, "So what do I have to do?" And I could put some money down. He goes, no, this is yours if you want it. Just tell us you want it. I said, "Well, why do you have it? You told me you couldn't order one." He says, "Somebody else ordered this. It was ordered on July 16th of 2021. Did somebody else order it?" And I said, "Well, why doesn't he want it?" He passed away. I'm like, "Wow. Okay, I'll take it. When's it coming in?" We don't know. And it took until the weekend of Mother's Day before it finally came in. It took forever to get it. Now, I was buying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know I was praying about it the whole time. And my declaration was, if God wants me to have this vehicle, I'll get one. And I got one. Because they are hard to get. They're hard to get. And by the way, I'm averaging, my wife's averaging, she's turned into a hypermiler. She's averaging 50 miles to the gallon in a pickup truck. Yeah, so cool. Anyway, that made me feel really good. If it didn't make you feel good, oh, I can. What would it look like if we looked at God about everything and trusted him to show us and to help us in our finances and to show us what to do? And what would it look like if he helped us with our driving? By the way, my wife, the reason I started to say all this was because my wife is a little bit nervous about putting the Bethel sticker in the back of the truck. Because I have this tendency when I hypermile to drive the actual speed limit. And people do not like it. Try it sometime. If you haven't done it lately, it's the thought. Drive the speed limit and watch what happens on Baltimore Street. Just saying, when you're on your way out here, there'll be somebody right behind you and they'll be like, what is going on with that guy? And sometimes they even drive a little slower. Just really makes people nuts. Makes them nuts. They're just like, what's it? When they go around me. So don't drive like you're on the highway to hell, but try to drive like you're a kingdom-minded person. And by the way, if you want a Bethel sticker, I will get you one for free. And I will even help you apply it to your back window or your bumper or wherever you want to stick it. There you go. How about kingdom vacations? What would that look like? What would it look like if the reason you went on vacation was to fulfill something that God wanted to fulfill in your life in the kingdom? How many believe he wants us to enter his rest? He does. I know pastors who take vacations from the kingdom. I've never been one who could stop being church-minded while I was on vacation. Because I've never seen the church as just what I do here. Think with me for a second. Is there anything that we do that wouldn't be better if we did it as a kingdom activity? Is there anything in our lives that we have ever done that wouldn't be better if we did it as a kingdom activity where on earth, as it is in heaven, applied to what we were doing? If we could get that level into anything in our lives, tell me our lives wouldn't be better. It's not possible. If I am kingdom-minded about every little thing in this part of the earth, we were made from earth. So this little piece of earth right here, if I bring it into the kingdom, what's it going to do to the people around me, to the situations around me, to everything around me? And all of a sudden, heaven is invading earth, and I'm just letting it happen through me and to me. I want to encourage you to start declaring on earth as it is in heaven in everything you do. But I want to also encourage us. Everybody say us. I want to encourage us to declare the kingdom of heaven into everything we do. Which leads to my second point, which is a lot shorter than my first point. Everybody say hallelujah. Yeah, because it's getting late. Note that this prayer begins, our Father. Our Father. Jesus didn't say, pray like this, my Father. I'm not saying you should never pray, my Father, but I'm saying, when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, our Father. It's very inclusive, that word our. I do believe in the power of one. We are the church that has a logo that says, be the one. I believe in the power of one, but I also believe in the power of us. This prayer doesn't say, my Father in heaven, It doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread and forgive me my trespasses as I forgive everyone who trespassed against me or sinned against me or is indebted to me. It's not about me. It doesn't say, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. It says us. Isn't that interesting? Oh, he only said it that way because he was with a crowd and he was just trying to address the whole group. Interestingly enough, if you look at the King James Version, it says, when ye pray, say. He was talking to them as individuals, but he was also using the plural. I believe there are a lot of less effective prayers going up from believers who are praying their hearts out, but are missing a very important element of prayer, and that element is us. Kingdom is a family, not a philosophy. When you are outside the family, you are at risk of being outside the us of the kingdom. And I say this with no joy because I know way too many people. We could triple our crowd probably if the people who aren't going to church anymore just started coming here to church again. People who used to go to church here anymore don't go to church if they just come go to church again. And I believe there's power in us when we're together. Doesn't mean that we never make declarations for ourselves. I think we should. I think we should make declarations for ourselves individually. But it does mean that we'll do better when we learn to do some of these declarations together. There are times when we should be praying over each other and declaring the kingdom over each other. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. This is a big deal that there's this connection and getting God in the midst of us. So there's power in what we're doing here right now this morning. There's power in what we're doing here. There's power that is different. I'm not saying it's always better, but it's kind of like, why miss this part when you can have it all? In a little while, we'll be doing an offering reading. And it has declarations in it. So while we do it, I recommend that we do it declaring his kingdom and not just thinking of ourselves, but thinking of those around us. So maybe somebody here needs a better job. When you say jobs and better jobs, maybe you can think of somebody who needs a better job or a better situation with whatever of those phrases that we say or whichever reading we're doing. Although it might be good to do that reading today, whoever's in charge of getting that reading up for us today. In a little while, we're going to be singing. And there are declarations in those songs. Declarations of the greatness of God. Declarations of how we love him. I think that we should take that kingdom mindset and apply it here to start, but then apply it everywhere we go. And I think when we do that, then we will truly see heaven invade earth. And that's what I want. I want to be the one who helps facilitate the us that will cause the earth to be transformed and renewed. Does that make sense? Okay, are you happy or you feel like I just loaded a whole bunch of stuff for you to do now? Oh, I used to be able to go shopping and now I'll have to think about it first. I used to be able to just drive down the road and be happy. Now I'll be thinking, do I represent the kingdom or not? Oh, my goodness. I want to remind you of what I said through this whole sermon, and that is your life will be better if it's on earth as it is in heaven in every area of your life. And I know this because I've experienced it for over 50 years. Because when I tried to do things that weren't quite his way, they didn't work out so well. And when I've tried to do things with his way and his kingdom in mind, they work out better than I expected. I believe that. And I believe God wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done in you as it is in heaven. So stand up, everybody. Do you know the name of the person next to you? John's introducing himself to Bree. That's really sweet. Some of you will have persons on each side, and some of you only have one person you'll have to hang on to, but put your hand on somebody's shoulder or grab their hand or something so you're connected with them. Now we're going to declare it. We're going to declare over the person next to us. Say, kingdom come. Will of God be done. Now I'm going to say the next phrase, and when I say on earth, instead of earth, I want you to say the name of the person. Can you do that? That'll be tricky. So you say the name of somebody. If you're standing all by yourself and not touching anybody, I don't know what you're going to do. Some of you may have to say two names, but I'm going to say earth, but I want you to say a name when I say. So I'm about to say it. I'm going to say it, then I'll have you repeat it. So on earth, I heard it, as it is in heaven. So let's do it again. Kingdom come, will of God be done on earth, as it is in heaven. See? Isn't that powerful? That's really cool. Let's give the Lord some praise. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.